Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today to our show, old and new listeners. We're teaching on the names of God. Today we'll be teaching on the name Holy, Kadosh. And I want to first introduce you to our ministry. We help people see the Bible through Hebrew eyes, and our key text is in John 12:21. That's our theme statement for the ministry, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. That's what we're here for. We're here so you can see him more clearly, love him more dearly, and worship him more sincerely. For God desires true worshipers, people, to worship him in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. So let's be who he's seeking. Amen. Now I'm going to have Danielle read. I want you people to jot this down and have your Bibles, pens, pencils, paper, computers, crayons, anything you got. All ages are welcome. Please, please make sure the children learn. Please make sure the old people learn. Please make sure the young learn. All must learn. All must grow. All need God. Okay? So do this as a family if your family's there too, please. And we're here every Sunday to join you and teach you, because it's all for God's glory, for your good, and a testimony of your lives to others of His. Amen. Isaiah 57, verse 15.
For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is Holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of heart, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite.
Excellent. And for those of you who know, great, but those who don't know, the word contrite means thoroughly penitent. Contrite means thoroughly penitent. And to do penance, you may have heard before, and the word penitentiary. And do you know what's one of the things they used to do in a penitentiary centuries ago? What would they do? They had somebody who they put in, who had done a crime. They would put him in there with a Bible. Mm. Great idea. Great idea. Great idea. Pass it along, people, to the necessary authorities.
Yes.
Please, they need it, because you got to help the people change. They have to change, so when they come out, they're changed. We need a thoroughly penitent one who's done penance, and in the penitentiary, you read the Bible until you are penitent in every way. Okay? The next one we're going to read is in Isaiah 6. We're going to look at verse 3, but I'd like you all to focus and read 1 to 7 yourself. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3.
And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Oh, amen. And they all said,
amen. Amen.
That's beautiful. Did you get the force of that? These are the angels are crying out. They're before the throne of God himself. And they're crying out and worshiping God who is holy. And God himself, you heard Danielle read it in Isaiah 57:15, that God is called holy. Now, remember, a name connotes three things. We've taught this before. If you're a new listener, listen, please, and jot this down. A name has three aspects to it. A name means?
Identity.
Great. Write it down. Identity.
Two. Essence.
Essence. Write it down.
And nature.
Nature. All right. So let's say it again. A name connotes what three things?
Identity.
Identity.
Essence.
Essence.
And nature.
Nature. So to know the name of God, a particular name is to have a better understanding, to see and know and understand his essence that that name portrays and elucidates for us. To touch God. To connect with God, to know God through his name, his essence. Therefore, we need to know the names to know our God. We have to. We must. We better. We need it in order to have life and live the way God wants us to do. And to have fellowship with God, we need to know the God who is our God. Amen?
Amen.
We need to know the God with whom we have to have fellowship with. So his name is Holy. Now, we're commanded also, to be holy. In Leviticus, write this down. I'm going to give you a few references. Leviticus 11:44 tells us to be holy as he is holy. Leviticus 19:2, much the same. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, and I'll repeat them all in a moment. Ephesians 1:4, We are to be holy. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. Wow. That's purpose, people. There's a purpose for life. Yes, Danny?
This means we can be holy.
Oh, that's a great point. Yes. Has there been a doubt to that? Have
yes,
people said things?
Yes, we've always been referred to as sinners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're sinners before you're saved. When you're saved, you're not a sinner anymore. You may be a saved person who sins, but not a sinner who sins.
I like that.
We must be careful about that, people. We are cleaned. You're a new species. So let me just give you those references again, and I want to pick up on what Danielle said. It was a great, great point for us all. Leviticus 11:44, Leviticus 19:2, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, Ephesians 1, 4. And if you read 1 Peter 1, 15, 16 carefully, you'll see that's quoting back from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Tanakh. Now, he chose us, God's purpose. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should, why? That we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Those are things that are expected, demanded, obligated, and will be done. Holy and blameless without blame. Untouched. We cannot be touched. We are unblemished. We are without blame. So let's look back to Daniel's comment, which was quite insightful. Let's go over that again. You made the point that
We can be holy.
Ah, we can be holy. Now, who said so?
We just read it.
Oh, God said so then.
God said so,
well,
yes.
Then that's it. I hope that settles it for the whole world. Because the second God says anything, people, it's over. Discussions don't begin. Questions, it's all over. There's a very important principle with God that we all must remember. It's all right to ask God questions, but don't question God. You can ask him questions with the right heart, but don't question him. So watch your heart, okay? Let's be careful.
And he also says in the Bible that we can live without sinning.
Yes, exactly. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John is the writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says, brethren, writing to the family of God, brethren, brothers and sisters, it means, brethren, I write these things to you in order that you do not sin. Again, brethren, I write these things to you in order that you do not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. Melitz lifnei ha'av, Yeshua HaMashiach HaTzadik. We have an advocate before the Father, Jesus, the Christ, the righteous one. So, but I'm writing these things to you so you don't sin. Now, if he said, I'm writing so you don't sin, then obviously we're writing because he's writing it so we don't, we won't, we shouldn't, and we're able to not sin.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that.
Otherwise, it would be an impossibility, and writing it would be a problem.
So we can live sinlessly, and we can be holy.
Exactly. We may sin every day. It may be common, but it's not correct.
Right.
Lying may be very common, people, among the percentages of the people that lie in the course of a lifetime, but still, it's not correct. This is not argumentum ad populum. You know, this is not the argument by popular vote. More people say or do, therefore it's correct. It's correct in and of its essence. It's objective. It's truth. It's above and beyond the vote or the opinion. It is a standard, and it must stay stable as it truly is. Don't change things. This will not change. If you try, we'll be the ones that change in the wrong direction. So if we can not sin for 5 seconds, now let's be honest. Have you people had moments, 5 seconds, where you haven't sinned? 10 seconds, of course you had. Well, if you could do it for 5 seconds, you could do it 5 minutes. It's just more of the same. So the possibility not only exists, you've already accomplished it many more times than you may realize. And some of the things that you may have thought were sin, I think we got to check with God and see if they are. Other things that you may have nonchalantly brushed off, giving your word to someone, or not being kind to someone, or not being gentle like you should, or not speaking up when you should, people, check with God. I think we've sinned in certain cases when we may have thought we hadn't. What is sin? It's to miss the mark. God wants us to hit the mark of life. That's what the mark is, life, and have a great life.
And you also tell us what holy means?
Yes, it's a great concept to bring up. We're going to bring up the word holy here, which is kadosh. I'm going to give you one more verse in a moment, but I want to do the word holy first. Kadosh, it's kof, dalet, vav, shin, kadosh. Kof, or kuf, dalet, vav, shin, kadosh. Now, the word kadosh, if we look at it letter by letter, and if you haven't joined us before, understand that each letter in Hebrew has seven meanings. That's right. Every letter has seven meanings, and we'll apply some of those meanings to this here. It's like you're entering the editor's room, and it's a much higher level of learning, people. Not everyone knows this, but everyone must learn, so let's learn together. You're entering the editor's room or the studio, and you're seeing and hearing things which you don't even realize when you're sitting out in the audience, okay, or just hearing this on the other end of the tape. The people that are working at this in a studio with all their knobs and dials and high-tech work and machinery and computers are just doing a fantastic job for us for His glory, which is all for His glory. And realize that we can see that. You can't. But come back into the editor's room with God and look at this word that Danielle brought up for holy. How do we do holy is the question, since we're commanded to be holy, and Daniel brought up the point that we're commanded to, we're expected to, we ought to, we better, we can then, because God's only asking us to do what can, should, ought, must be done, and He believes in us that we're able to, with Him, do it. So, how do you do holy? We need to know the Hebrew, and we need to know the Hebrew at a new level of depth. Now, sometimes you look in your Hebrew dictionaries and lexicons at the whole word. The whole word itself basically means to be separated. To be separated, and you need a direction of object. Separated, really, saints or the holy ones that are in Christ Jesus. You're separated into, unto Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ, all right? Period. Now, separated to the Lord. In the ancient world, they also had saints, but that word itself was not invested with a moral, ethical, spiritual meaning. It just meant separated purely. So they had saints. There were example at Corinth. There was a temple there, a pagan temple. What about 3,000 cultic prostitutes, male and female? And you know what they were called? Saints. Uh-oh. What do we do with that? Well, when you see the letter to the Corinthians in the New Testament, in the Brit Chadasha, that's Hebrew, Brit Chadasha for New Covenant or New Testament, you see that there's a sensitivity there because in looking for a word for these separate ones, they took a word out of the Greek language. There was about five choices for it, and they took this word hagios in Greek for saint, which meant separate, but it had nothing to do with morals or ethics because you could be a saint working as a prostitute at the temple in Corinth. You sure weren't the way we look at it as a saint today. You wouldn't go, oh, wow, look at that prostitute, how saintly they are. That's not the way it was. So when you're sensitive to that and you read the epistle, it says to the saints in Corinth who are in Christ Jesus, as opposed to the saints who are in Corinth or over there. We're not writing to you guys. So it's always the saints. Why would they write to the saints in Christ Jesus? Are there other kind of saints? Well, now we know that there were. So the saints who are separated, right? That's the word saint, hagios, separate, from which the word comes from, separate unto Jesus Christ.
That's good.
That's the point. Now it has a moral, ethical, and more religious overtone now, a spiritually invested meaning that did not exist in that before. So the New Testament writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, invested a known word, they used it, and infused it with a spiritual meaning that was non-existent before. Okay, that's an important point to know. Here's the Hebrew word, kadosh, letter by letter. The kof or kuf means final or least. Dalet, like a door, means from delet, dalet, door. And we'll put it together for you in a moment. Vav means join or establish or man, since man was made on the sixth day, and that letter also relates to six. Shin, which means tooth. And I know we're going a little fast, but watch me put it together for you. Kof, Dalet, Vav, Shin. The final or least door that man has established is destroyed. Whoa! Don't worry, I'll tell you again. You can get it all down. This is very important because this now tells you how to do holy. We're expected to be holy, but how do you do that? It's like a parent telling you, stand up straight. What's straight? If I try to stand up like that in 5 minutes, my back's so tired, I'm going to slouch even more. And I'm telling you, as a chiropractor, which I am by trade, that doesn't work. When you stand up correctly, you're really only using two muscles actively in your body to stand straight up. Actively, and they're both in your calf, the gastrocnemius and soleus, or the triceps serrae group. All the rest are just hanging out, relaxing in basic body tone. So unless you instruct someone and teach them, we're asking them to do what they don't have knowledge to do. That's not fair. Let's have knowledge and then give them knowledge so they know what to do. All right? Please.
All right.
All right. So Kadosh, again, is the final or least door that man has established is destroyed. Now let's look at that practically. What's a door? A door is something that separates a room from another. Let's just look at it as a closed door or something that's cutting one area off from another. A final door is the ultimate, but let's look at every least door. Anything that separates that man is established, you got to bring those walls, doors down. The point of it in being holy, people, is to get the walls down, to get everything that's separating you from God, yourself, and others. Get the walls down, because walls separate. When you're having a party or a dinner party or friends over, do you put them all in one room and you're going to eat in the other room? Hope not. Be the last time you see us, all right? That doesn't work. What do you all do? There's no walls in a room, right? You're all in one big room. Now, what happens if there's walls between you in conversation? That doesn't work too well, does it?
No conversation happens.
No conversation is a real problem. What happens if we have a wall or something separating us from God?
No relationship.
Ah, that's a perfect answer. No relationship. Now, what kind of walls are these that are told we got to break down? Man's established walls. So the ones that we've put up, not the ones that God has put up to protect us and keep us safe from dabbling, doing anything. God has put up walls to keep us safe. And Ravi Zacharias, a brilliant Christian apologist, told once in a teaching he had about evil, he said, be careful talking about society, about taking walls down, taking down the fences that have been established. Don't take them down so hastily. Go check out with your fathers and forefathers why they put them up in the first place. Because unless you know why they were put up in the first place, to help keep them safe from something, you may expose yourself horribly to things that they were trying to protect you from as parents and grandparents, okay? Be careful. They've been around a few years. They've learned some things, okay? Honor the elders of society and don't stick on two more letters and make the elders elderly. They happen to know a lot. So don't treat them by adding on two more letters like the outcasts of society. I hope you know after 60 years of learning something, when you hit another figure, they say, well, now you're worthless, you're elderly, we don't need you, you're a real problem to us in society, and you know, no more use. That's horrible. In the ancient world, what they often would do, they would take the old and young together, the very old and the very young, because they would be the grandparent-type figure, and they would be also infused with the vigor of youth and the sparkle of children and the vitality of their life. And then the children would learn from people with 50, 60, 70, 80 years of wisdom. That's wonderful. So please, watch the walls. Take down your walls. Don't touch God's, all right? So in being holy, the final or least door that I've established, I must destroy. That is how I do holy. It's an active, willful decision to work with the Holy Spirit to knock these walls down. Between what three? Between me and God. So like Danielle said earlier, I can have a relationship with God. Two, between me and me. We got to be a lot more honest people. We don't barely know ourselves. And part of us that we do know, we don't like. And the other part, we don't know. So we really are not that good at loving ourselves, are we?
No.
No, and that's sad. Because how if I don't really love myself well in a healthy way, even like myself well, how am I going to like and love somebody else well? Not so well. And that's not well. So let's get healthy. To be holy, this is what we have to do.
This door is things like pride.
Oh, that's good.
And fear.
Exactly.
Prejudice.
Exactly.
hatred.
Exactly.
Anything that keeps us apart from other people and God and ourselves.
I'm sending people to Galatians 5. Look at all the sins of the flesh. Danielle listed many of them brilliantly. That's what you look at. All these things that we've established that God hasn't, which means we have done them without God. Therefore, we have made our own hell on earth when God said to bring heaven to earth. That's pretty terrible, people. And that's a work of our own doing. So it shows we're living wrong, and actually shows we have a lot of strength, but we're misusing it. It's like the football player running the wrong way, scoring a touchdown for the wrong team. Oops, no good.
Wow.
So watch where you run. You may be running fast, but running the wrong way. Go look at the coach and know where those poles are, you know. Run straight, run right with God as your eye, because he's the author and perfecter of your faith. So set your eyes on him. So you can run your race properly and make sure that you do it in a holy way. Now in Psalm 22:3, it says, "But thou art the Holy One, and thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Wa'ata kadosh, yoshev tehilot Yisrael. Wa'ata kadosh, yoshev tehilot Yisrael. You are holy." Holy. God is the Holy One. And you are enthroned also means to sit. And when God sits, he is enthroned on the praises of Israel, of his people. Now, all believers, although not Israel, we are believers. We can also, through covenant, know God just the same as Israel, through their covenant, could, should, must also know God. And I, as a Jew, also through the covenants of God, know God, as long as I'm faithful to the covenant that God has given. So God is the Holy One, and he sits enthroned on the praises of his people. So let's review. God is the Holy One. His name is holy. So when you're looking to be holy, you can pray. Say, Lord, Holy One of Israel, Holy One, I see how you are holy. And in seeing your holiness, I see where I'm not. To the degree I see I'm not, I must become holy. I need to see where I must become holy. I can only see that when I see you, because you are the standard of perfection. You are the excellent one. You are the Holy One. You are the thrice Holy One. God, show me. As I come before your face in honesty and truth, and I seek to just sit at your feet, show me your face, show me your holiness. I want to see in that your holiness. As I look at you, I see myself to the degree I'm holy and to the degree I'm not. And I choose to change right now. I must change, and I know exactly as I keep my eyes on you, Lord, how much I have to change, because you expect me to be your image and look like you and be holy as you're holy. So in studying you, I could see where I have to change, what I have to become, who I must be, who you've called me to be. Help me, Lord, be holy, and show me the walls, and you've given me the power through the blood of the Messiah to take those walls down and destroy them, in Jesus' name. And they said, Amen. So please understand, people, this is how you do it. Because you can't just read this Bible, and God says, be holy as you're holy, and we go, good, I could say it in Hebrew, Greek, or English, and you're not holy. You're no more holy than you were a minute before. Yes, Danielle.
Remember, God said that we can. We can knock down those veils of separation.
With him? Yes.
With him, we can. We're not sinners. We're Christians.
Yes. Christians who could choose not to sin, who he chooses for himself not to sin, to be holy and blameless before him in love. So go and sin no
Praise
more.
Praise God.
Amen? Come on, say it with me. I will sin
No more.
How long is no more? Lots of time.
Yes.
No more. And we bid you from our hearts and souls,
Shalom
on your souls.